please stand for the call to worship? The Spirit of God calls to us with sighs too deep for words. The Spirit of God calls to us, claiming us, summoning us to become God's children, or calling us by name, God's children.
You may be seated. Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Southside Baptist Church on this beautiful Sunday morning. I know that it is a holiday weekend, and there are people that are recovering from ball games that were late and holiday weekends that take them away. So we will pray for them as they recover or as they travel this week, but we are glad that all of you have made it here today to worship together. Southside Baptist Church is a church in the heart of Five Points South, building an inclusive community of grace, first in this community and then beyond. And we hope that a part of that is to reach out to you with loving arms and welcoming you in just as you are, and that we all grow together into a likeness, that being more like Christ. So we welcome everyone today that's here, both member and guest alike, and we would like for you to fill out the registration tablet. You'll see that at the end of each pew. If you'll just write in there your name, and if there's any other information you would like to include for us, we would appreciate that as well. Today, as we continue on, I wanted to call your attention to three things before we move on in the worship, and that is this insert in the bulletin, and you'll find that there two special events coming up, as well as in the next week, but also one that's at the end of the month. Please take a moment to read this, and if you have questions, to check in with us. The third of those, all students, we're going to have a luncheon for you to welcome you back. And that's a college student. If you're a college student that's just arrived, if you're a college student that has gone back to school, if you're a student, then you come. We welcome you to be a part of this next Sunday at 12:15. And then the special spirituality group that we're beginning this week, six-week study that begins September 8. Today, before we have our invocation, I'd like to ask you to stand and to pass the peace of Christ, and just to speak to each other that are close by, and just say to them, may the peace of Christ be with you. And if you would remain standing as you go back to your places as we prepare for our invocation this morning. Loving Lord, we gather in this place and we are grateful to be here. We're filled with joy because you have loved us, you have showered your grace down upon us. You have blessed us in so many wonderful and rich ways. For all those things, we're grateful. We're also grateful we can gather here to lift our voices to you in prayers and songs of praise and thanksgiving. May you receive it, and may we worship you today in spirit and in truth. In your name I pray. Amen. Verses. Our first scripture lesson today is found in the Psalter, Psalm 104. I'll be reading verses 24 through 34. How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There's the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things both large and small. Their ships go to and fro, and the Leviathan which you form to frolic there. These all look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up, and when you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. Here ends our reading from this Old Testament scripture.
Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, chapter 8, and reading verses 26 to 28, where Paul speaks about our need for the Spirit to help us in our prayers. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Seated. Jack, it's just us again, but I saw Alexis had to leave a little bit ago, and so we will miss her today, but I want to ask you a couple of things. You know, you have a pretty pink shirt on and some nice gray slacks. I wonder, did you go buy those? Did you buy those? Well, you didn't. Where did they come from? You don't know. They just showed up at your house? They were just there? Yeah, well, you know, that happens, and it happens because somebody's looking out for you or looking after you, right? Now, you know that today we're talking about God's love for us and the fact that he's always with us. You know, there are things that we need that we don't even know to ask for, but yet they appear and they're there. When, just like with your clothes that were bought by parents and provided for you, God provides things for us when we don't know what to ask for. Now, would you have known to ask for those particular things? Maybe. You're smart. You might have known. But you might have had to, if I were to do it, I might come in with some things that didn't match. I have to ask. But God knows what we need. And because God knows what we need, when we don't even know how to ask, God makes those things happen. So remember that even when you're talking to God, which is like you talk to your dad, your mom, and how do you do that? You just ask them, talk to them when you get up in the morning and you go to school and you talk to them or you talk to your granddad, there's always a conversation. So when we talk to God, we talk to God
about the things that are going on with us. And God hears our prayers and knows that we're in need, what we're in need of, but also those things that we don't even know to ask. God is there, knowing that our needs are greater than we can understand. So we want to pray and thank God for that, and then I'll see if I can provide something that you didn't ask for, but I think you probably wanted. Okay? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for all the blessings we do have. We thank you that you do intercede for us, that you provide for needs, even when we don't know what to ask for, that you still provide. You care for us. You meet all of our needs. For all this, we're grateful. In your name I pray. Amen. Now, would you like to look and see if there's anything here you'd like? Here, take one to your granddad. Take that to your granddad.
My pastor shall supply all your needs.
At least chocolate.
At least chocolate. We're thinking about prayer today in our homily, so let us come before God in prayer. Shall we pray? God of creation, lover of all that you have made, we thank you for the generosity of your gifts to each and every one of us. Help us in turn to be generous in our attitudes and actions towards others. God of time and space, we know that your presence is always with us, and even when we wander from you, you are always close. Help us to be close towards those who are our neighbors. You have given us to us the promise of your Holy Spirit to renew our minds and hearts in faith, love, and hope. Come, Holy Spirit, clear away the cobwebs of our lives, our tangled thoughts, our messy motives. Help us by your aid to flourish in our Christian lives, living your love in everything that we do. Loving God, you challenge us as a church to be a place of welcome, a church without walls, always offering your love, your care, your compassion to those who need it most. Help us to be people also of courage, that our church may witness to your vision of how we should live together, created in your image. Lord, today we pray for those who govern the nations of the world on behalf of people. We think about those who are meeting together in China as members of G20. Give to them strength in times of trouble, but give to them light and wisdom to see how best they govern and they care for this world that you have created. Lord of compassion, guide all who bear public office that they may use their influence for the common good. And we ask for your help in all our efforts at building communities within our local neighborhoods. Help us to be salt and light within our own sphere of influence so that others might see the coming of your kingdom through works of mercy, kindness, and compassion. Lord, we pray for all those who we love who suffer in body and mind or spirit, for those who are anxious, those who are in pain. May they find the strength to endure. Comfort them with your presence, we pray, and help them to hold fast to that which is good and not to lose heart. Lord, we pray for those who have triumphed over death and are in your presence. May they rest in peace and rise in glory. Merciful Father, accept all of these our prayers as we offer them in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray with confidence, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. It was a hot summer Sunday in First Baptist somewhere in Kentucky. The air conditioning was working, but folks were still using their church bulletins as a fan. A five-year-old boy was getting more and more restless, and nothing his mother could do would seem to quieten him, not even the candy that the pastor for congregational care had given out earlier. Eventually, she gave her husband one of those looks, and he seemed to be totally taken up by what the pastor was saying, but the look was, the time had come. So the father, with some reluctance and with a certain amount of annoyance, took the child in his arms and, after a moment or two of resistance, managed to fix him firmly under his right arm and headed towards the exit. Nobody really took much notice until the little boy piped up at the top of his voice and in his best southern accent, "Y'all pray for me now. Y'all pray for me now." There are times in our Christian experience when we pray. Normally, it's in times of trouble. It used to be so simple when we were younger. We knew how to pray. But there are times when we struggle now with prayer more than perhaps we care to admit. We struggle not only with understanding God or where God is in the midst of life. Each of us have known disappointments in our jobs and work, home and family relationships, illness and disability, financial difficulties. And all around the world, people are struggling with these and other issues: famine, drought, political upheaval, persecution, injustice. There are times when we come before God in prayer and we don't know where to start. We don't know what to say. And perhaps there are just those groans within us that we can't put words to. Paul suggests in these two verses that prayer is something that we struggle with, and God helps us in our prayers. Listen again to what Paul says. "Likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that is the same Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." For St. Augustine, the Holy Spirit, whom Paul is speaking about here, is the bond of love between the members of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But he's also, Paul has said earlier in this book, in chapter 5 of Romans, the Spirit of God has been poured out into our hearts. And Paul says, God pours out his love into our hearts through the gift of the Spirit. Within this chapter, we've noticed earlier on that the Spirit of God is always with us. He assures us of the love of God towards us. His love embraces us, our anthem says this morning. This same Spirit enables us, empowers us to live a different kind of life as Christians. And this same Spirit, Paul says, helps us when we pray, helps us even when we do not know how to pray. The words of our anthem this morning were written by my theological professor at Aberdeen University. He used to say that prayer is not something that we do as a matter of duty. It's not something that we master and become experts in. Prayer is a gift from God. We enter into prayer as a gift, whereby we come through Jesus in the Spirit to pray to the same Father that the Lord Jesus prayed to when he said, "Abba, Father." He relied upon the Spirit to enable him to live a life of goodness. At one time he even says, "I thank you, Father," and he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit, according to Luke's gospel. And so through Jesus, in by the Spirit, we come and we pray to God as the one who loves us, as the one who hears and knows what's going on in our lives and can help us in our need. Later on in this chapter, Paul even says that another person within the Trinity prays for us. It gets very complicated. We're told that Jesus who died and rose and ascended to the right hand of the Father, he intercedes for us, verse 34 of this chapter. And so here we have the intercession of the Spirit, who intercedes for the saints according to the will of God, Paul says here, and later, the eternal session about us. It's almost as if the family is having a discussion about us with each other in heaven. Not saying they're doing pretty badly down there, no, but rather expressing a concern for those whom they love. I quite like that idea of the family in heaven thinking about us. Does that mean that we don't have to pray? Well, apparently not. Paul assumes that even when we find prayer difficult, we will pray. Even when we don't have a desire, we will pray. We find lots of excuses to not to pray, at least I think I do. Maybe I'm different from everybody else. But we often find it difficult just to know what to say in prayer. We come with sighs too deep for words, says Paul. Maybe that's when we're really at the extremity of our need that happens, but it does happen. And so Paul says we come into the presence of a God who cares for us and listens and understands our needs. You may know the story of the Irishman called Joseph Scriven, who in 1842 graduated from Trinity College in Dublin. He went back home and fell utterly in love with a girl, and they planned their wedding and their future with great excitement. The day before their wedding, Joseph's bride saddled her horse, as you do in the midpoint of the 19th century, and went to visit him. Joseph saw her riding towards him, filled with joy, but then suddenly, as she crossed a bridge over a raging river, her horse bucked and threw her into the river below. Before he could get there, she had drowned. Heartbroken, he eventually emigrated to Canada. And again he fell in love. And tragedy occurred a second time when Eliza fell ill. And before they were married, she died from pneumonia. You maybe not heard the story of Joseph Scriven, but you will recognize some words that he wrote. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our griefs and pains to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Our anthem this morning, I thought, was very striking. It was striking, I suppose, for myself, because I was listening to the words of a teacher from years ago in Aberdeen, set to music and arranged by our own Dr. Banks. Professor Torrens used to say, the first real step on the road to prayer is to recognize that none of us knows how to pray as we ought. But we can bring our desires to God. And we find that when we bring our desires to God, we have somebody who hears. And not only does the Father hear, but the Son and the Spirit enable us, help us, even at times pray for us in our desperate need. Jesus takes our prayers, selfish, feeble, inarticulate. He cleanses them and makes them his prayers. And in a wonderful way, he makes his prayers our prayers and presents them to the Father as his dear children crying, Abba. There's a deep mystery about prayer. We enter into the presence of God, a God of triune love. And this is the assurance we have when we pray. Our prayers come to one who is interested in us, completely interested. And he is the one who is willing to take our prayers, inarticulate and sometimes muddled up with false motives as they are, and brings them and hears them and receives them. God who searches the heart, says Paul, knows. Prayer is something that some people seem to find easier than others, and sometimes we can have an imagination that other people are not struggling with prayer as we are. We do that, I think, sometimes with some of these great characters in the Bible. We think, well, they had it okay, didn't they? We listen to the Apostle James as he writes about a man by the name of Elijah, and he says that he prayed. And we think about Elijah, and we think about the way he encountered the prophets of Baal, and they didn't succeed against him. But then I like to think of Elijah after that, when he's out in the wilderness, in the desert, weak and frail, finished, and he says to God, just let me die. Somewhere in the midst of his life, he also knew what prayer was. Not because he was special. He struggled, but he prayed. It's so countercultural to think that we can't make it on our own. I mean, have you not been told that God helps those who help themselves? I have to say to you, that is just complete and utter nonsense. God helps those who are helpless. Without me, said Jesus, you can do nothing. The word helps, in Paul uses here, of the help that the Spirit gives us, is only used in one other place in the New Testament. It's a word that means to carry a heavy load and come alongside somebody to help them carry the heavy load. It's used in Luke's Gospel of Martha and Mary when they're entertaining Jesus, and Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet, and Martha is working hard. And suddenly, she can't take it anymore, and she says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. Help me. The word implies that the Holy Spirit doesn't do everything, but he helps us. As we're struggling sometimes to pray, finding it difficult to know what to say and to keep at it, we pray, and it's almost as if the Spirit says, let me grab the other end and help you by picking up your burden and taking it to the Father. Let me help you. He's our companion. He reads what is on our minds and hearts and brings our prayers to the Father. But more than that, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray saying, Abba, Father, did not find life easy in this earth. He was broken, desolate, alone at one point, on the brink of death. He had a human body and mind that was fragile, and on one occasion anyway, he said, not Abba, but why have you forsaken me? Knowing Jesus as a friend isn't a guarantee that life will be easy, comfortable, fun, and always happy. But we can know that he is the one who shared our pain, our sheer bad luck, and lived it out on our behalf, and died and rose again to now pray for us. The family is gathering in heaven to think about the needs of their children. I know not how to pray, O Lord, so weak and frail am I. Lord Jesus, to your outstretched arms in love I daily fly, for you have prayed for me. O draw me to the Father's heart. Lord Jesus, when I pray and whisper in my troubled ear, your sins are washed away, come home with me today. And so we come. We come now to this table. The table of the Lord's Supper, the table with bread and with wine. The table to which we come not because we must, but because we may. Not because any goodness of our own allows us to be here, because we all stand in need of the mercy and the grace of God. We come helpless. We come with our needs, and we bring them into the presence of our Lord. For those who are guests today, this table is for all who come. We come at the front, Dr. Kelly and myself, with a chalice and with some wafers. We invite you, after the choir has been served, to come and to receive the waver and to dip it in the cup, and then to return to your pew. Come to this table. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we come in our helplessness today, in all sorts of different parts of our lives, conscious of our failure, conscious of our struggles, but conscious most of all, conscious of your never-ending love. So help us this morning to come humbly, but to come with assurance that you're the God who loves us. In Jesus' name we pray. hymn of promise is number 409. I wasn't aware that when I included this hymn and its story in the homily, that it was going to be chosen as the hymn that we would finish the service with. I think that seems like a bit of providence to me. It's a hymn of promise, a hymn of opportunity, of expressing our commitment to Christ, our desire to know him better. Let's stand and sing this hymn together, 409.
May we pray, eternal, loving God, we reach out to you, fully aware of our own inadequacy. We try today to return a little of what we owe you, a little of what we have gotten from you, so that you may continue your mission on earth, in this place and beyond. We offer our tithes and offerings with the prayer that you do your work with them, not our desires. Father, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
bring these tithes and offerings into your house. We ask, O Lord, that you would use them, that you would bless them, and they would be used wisely for your purposes. Amen. Would you be seated for just a moment, please? Just a couple of announcements to make today before we go out into the world and share the love of God, as we have been reminded of God praying for us and God going before us. It is encouraging to know that the family of God prays for the people of God, both individually and collectively, as we are here and gathered as God's family, but also around the world. Today, as we reflect upon all the goodness and blessings that God has showered down upon us, one of those is to meet so many people that come our way. There are many guests today, and we encourage you to linger long enough in the narthex that we'll be able to speak to you and give you a better Southside welcome. We've always try to welcome folks warmly, but we want to let you know that we are happy you're here. It also gives us an opportunity to talk with those who have been away for a while and to share together for just a few moments. There are several things this week. You saw those in the order of worship and the calendar of events, that being the on Wednesdays, our usual studies that are going on in the study of Acts, but then also on Thursdays, the contemplative service followed by a new study, new discipleship small group study. Next Sunday, those who are students that are here and those who might be up there, know that you are welcome all and encouraged to be in a luncheon next week. We want to welcome all of those back because it's always a bit of an anxious time as you begin a new semester. Isn't that right, Dr. Roxborough, as he teaches? Oh. So we are grateful to be able to share with you. As we go, Dr. Roxborough is going to come and have our benediction, but listen as the choir has a choral benediction for us today.
Of the triune God, enable you and help you in the days of this coming week to know his love, which never fails. Amen.